Assalamu alaikum, we're recording. The stereotype of today and other weeks as well coming in the next coming week is Islam have double standards when it comes to male and female. So Islam has double standards.
Get a picture?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Little unbalanced thing like that.
Oh, a balancing scale?
Yeah.
Okay.
And put men here and put women here.
Okay.
So, it's like this. This is Islam is biased towards men. So, men are heavy, women are light, like that. It's double standard. And to answer that, let's first get to know, are men and women are equal or different? I'm not saying that one is better than the other. I'm saying, are they equal or different? Like men and women, are they equal or different?
Equal and different.
Different.
And equal.
Well, equality... They have their own value, and the men have their own value. They are different in life. In the Olympics, do they have teams, men against men, and women against women, or they have a mixed team?
Men.
Did you ever see men playing against women?
No.
Why not?
Because they're scared to lose.
Good one. Okay.
Because
physically, can we make, can we do a race between men and horses? Why not?
Because horses are built.
Exactly. What I'm trying to say is that men and women are different. Okay, another example. If I go jogging in the street, okay, with my underwear, or like my swimming pants with my underwear. Like, not underwear, like a short.
Oh, okay.
If I go running with a short, but no shirt, would I draw the interest of anybody? Like,
no,
not a big deal. Now, how about if women and girls do the same? What's going to happen? Is it the same? It's going to be different. Okay, so, what I'm trying to say here is that men and women are different. They are natural differences, that's for sure. They are not the same. So I don't want to say they are equal. I want to say, or not, I'm going to say they are not the same. They are different from each other. Men are different from women. Okay? And there are roles in Islam that has to do with women, and there are rules that have to do with men. For example, girls have a monthly vacation from prayer during the time of the dot. Okay? They have a monthly... Do I get a monthly break from prayer? No. Do you get it? Yes. Okay? So, we call it monthly vacation. Okay? We sometimes call it the red days. Okay? So, now what made people pick up on Islam for double standards? The first one it says that Islam, a woman can have multiple husbands. I'm sorry, a man can have multiple wives, okay, but a woman can't have multiple husbands. Okay, now let's think about this for a minute. Let's think about the actual whether it's good to have more than one wife or not. Let's start from the beginning. What is the case, what is the rule, and what's the exception? The rule is it one man has to marry more than one woman, or the exception is one man have more than one wife? The exception is having more than one wife. Because Allah created who? Adam and? Did he create Adam and four Eves?
No.
Did he create Adam and two Eves?
No.
Allah created one Adam and one Eve. So that is the rule. That's the rule. One husband, one wife. That's it. That's the rule. However, there are situations where women, where it is required to do a second marriage. For example, Prophet Ibrahim had how many wives?
Two.
And these two wives, why did he have the second wife?
Because his first wife wasn't able to give birth.
Exactly, because his first wife can't give birth. She can't get pregnant. So he married his slave girl, which is Hajar. So we have Sarah and then Hajar. And then later on, Hajar had a child called Ismail. Later on, Sarah, Allah blessed her when she was old, really old, like in the age of like 90 or something. Allah gave her a baby boy, which is, do you know what's his name?
Ishaq,
which is Isaac. Got it? So the bottom line is that if a Christian person comes to you and says, having more than one wife is immoral. Having more than one wife is immoral. Now, is Prophet Ibrahim recognized as a prophet in the Bible? Prophet Ibrahim, is he recognized as a prophet in the Bible?
Yeah.
Okay, so if he recognized as a prophet in the Bible, then what he did, can I say it was immoral for him to marry two? Okay? No, nobody can say that, because in the Bible and in the Torah, Christian and Jews believe that Prophet Ibrahim, okay, is an honorable prophet. Ibrahim is an honorable prophet. If he married two, then it's not immoral. Otherwise, if it was immoral, would he do it? No, he wouldn't do it. Got it? So this is one thing. Now, also, the Prophet Sulaiman, you know the Bible, the Christians and the Jews, you know they say how many wives did Prophet Sulaiman have? You know how many wives? And according to the teachings of the Bible and the teaching of the Torah? Huh?
Seven?
No.
Okay.
Nine. See, okay. Some say 99 wives. Others say 999 wives. It's written in the Bible and the Torah. King David. King Solomon. Oh, hold on. King Solomon. Not King David. King Solomon. Okay. He had either 99 or 999. Okay. Is he honored in the Bible as an honorable person? Yes. And he had more than one wife. Let's just say more than one wife. Let's not say 99 or 999. He had more than one wife. Okay? Now, there are situations where allowing husbands to marry more than one wife is really, really necessary. One of them we already talked about, which is, there are situations where marrying more than one, okay, is really necessary. We talked about one of them, which is, can't give birth. That's right. When one wife can't give birth, do I divorce her and get another one that gives birth?
No.
That would be so mean. So mean. Okay. What's that?
So you know King Henry?
Yes.
Yeah, he was the first Christian man who convinced the Pope, okay, I know divorce is considered bad, but you gotta make it happen because my wife's not giving me a son and I don't have a son.
Yes. It's very mean. It's very mean to say to your wife, you're divorced because you can't have children.
And then when he did divorce Queen Eleanor and then she married someone else, then she did have a son. I always thought that was funny.
Yeah. You see? Now, Islam says you don't have to Islam says you don't have to divorce your wife if she doesn't give birth. You don't have to divorce her. Keep her. Keep her in her house. Honored. And marry another one. These are situations where, this is a situation where it's necessary. The evidence is Prophet Ibrahim. We already talked about Prophet Ibrahim. He did that. If it was immoral, then Prophet Ibrahim will not do it. What's going on? If it was immoral, then Prophet Ibrahim will not do it. Right? Can I get you to sit over here? Maham likes to talk. Huh? Okay. Now, can you come up with another scenario where marrying more than one wife is necessary?
Huh? Did your wife die?
Yeah, she died, then I don't have a wife.
If one wife is disabled.
MashaAllah, if your wife is disabled. And she can't be a wife anymore because she's disabled. Okay? Then what do? You divorce her and throw her out and bring another one?
No.
Or you keep her honored and then bring another one? You see, these are situations where it is necessary to bring, to have another wife. Now, there are situations where it's mercy to have more than one wife. What is that mercy? Situations where it's motivated by mercy. One of them is that if there is a widow, if there is a widow that has more than one, that has a lot of children, and she's a widow, it's really very merciful. It's mercy to marry her. Why? To support her and support her children. Okay? So that's one of the situations where it's really necessary for a man to marry another wife because she has children. Now, if it is my first and only marriage, would I do that? No. I'm telling you, I will not marry a girl that has, or a woman that has more than one child if this is the only one I can marry. I mean, I'm talking about myself. Somebody else might have different perspective. But no, it's a lot of people say, if this is my only marriage, gotta be the best. Gotta be the best marriage. I want a girl who's beautiful, and she didn't marry before, and all of these things. Even divorced women, they suffer from the stigma. You're divorced, you're bad. You know, they suffer from this stigma. Okay, Maham, are you doing? Okay. They suffer from this stigma. Stigma, right? Which is doodling. Yes, you caught doodling. You are? Okay. So, did you get this part? Do you agree with me? Do you agree with me that it is necessary, or it is mercy, motivated by mercy, that a man can marry another wife that has children, a widow or a divorced woman, either widow or divorced, right? This is necessary. To show you how necessary it is, there was a story, true story. There is a woman in Canada who had more, she was not Muslim. And then at the age of like 55, some age like that, she became Muslim. When she became Muslim, all her friends and her parents deserted her. So she became lonely, basically, on her own. She would go home to find an empty house. She doesn't have a husband. Okay, she had boyfriends, but they are gone. She doesn't have, before she's Muslim, then she's a Muslim, she can't have a boyfriend. And her friends and family deserted her, and she's lonely. And she started developing depression. Really, she started becoming very sad, because it doesn't matter how long she stays in the masjid, when she comes back to home, she finds what? Like there's no life. Yeah, silence. She doesn't have children, she doesn't have a husband, she have nothing. So her condition was observed by one Muslim woman in the masjid. So one day, this Muslim woman went to visit the new convert. Let's call it ex-lady. She went to visit the ex-lady, and then she knocked on her door. And then when she opened the door, when ex-lady opened the door, the other Muslim woman told her, I see you're lonely and suffering. I'm willing to share my husband with you. I am willing to share my husband with you. Meaning that to have somebody that she's, instead of, if she can't be a full wife, she can be at least half a wife. You understand? So it's better, or in other words, instead of having, if you can't get a man by yourself, okay, then it's better to have the opportunity to get half a man. You know, half a man? Not dividing the man like this, but half a man means having two wives. So which one is better, being alone or having two wives? Or having married to a married man, or be a second wife? Which one better? To be lonely or have a second wife? You know what she said? She cried and she said, now I understand the wisdom of having to be able to marry more than one wife. So much, I so much appreciate what this sister did. She's so sweet. I appreciate what she did so much. She turned my life. She brought me life and happiness again. So I have a half a husband instead of having no one at all. And many girls and ladies, there are ladies who pass the age of marriage. What do you call them? Who are past the age of marriage and could not successfully find a husband. What do we call those? No. She could not marry. She could not find a husband. Huh? What do you call her? Huh?
Don't you call them old maids?
I call them in Arabic, I call them anis.
This was hag. Is it hag or is that just an insult?
No, Agis, Anis, that's the name in Arabic. I don't know what the name in English is. And what's the name in your language, native language is, I don't know. So if she's Anis, then would she be willing, won't she be willing to share a husband instead of having no husbands at all?
Yeah.
It's better to have more than one husband. I'm sorry. It's better to have half a husband than having no husband at all. You got it? You got the point? So it's very good. It's a mercy to the widow with many children. It's a mercy to the divorce with many children. It's mercy to the women that couldn't get husbands, that failed to get a husband, and they are getting older and older without a husband. So those three benefits. Can you think of any fourth scenario?
I think there was something like, it was very long ago, it was kind of like this twisted belief in some societies that if a woman's husband died, she would be killed with him. Or
yeah, burned with him.
Oh, yeah, yeah, so that's in India, right?
In India, yes.
Something?
Yes.
Like
that's mean.
I'm not sure, I forgot what it was called.
This is really mean.
I don't know.
But they're like tied together. Like,
yeah, yeah.
If one dies and the other should die with them. So
yeah, she's tied to
a reincarnation together. And
oh, that's. We know that this is of course haram in Islam. Of course, we know. I don't need to tell you then. And this is rejected. But do you know that there are situations where this can be abused? Having more than one wife is abused. How? This prince is so rich, and he gets four different wives, four young wives, not widowed, not widows, not divorced. They are like first-time marriage. He gets four of them. That's an abuse. That's an abuse. Allah intended for this to be a mercy, and some people abuse it. Some people abuse it. Okay, but. Because some people are abusing it, Allah is not forbidding it. It's just like everything. It's okay to eat, but it's not okay to abuse yourself at eating too much. You understand? So, like having a kitchen knife, right? You can use it to do your kitchen work, or you can use it to kill someone. Can I use the kitchen knife to kill someone? I mean, you can. Yes, you can, right? But the question is, do I ban kitchen knives from the kitchen? Do I say you can't have a kitchen knife because knives can kill? No. It's an abuse to kill with the knife. It's an abuse to the use of knives. Okay. And I'm not going to prevent the ladies, housewives, and women from having a knife just because it could be used for killing. Same thing here. Some people, yeah, I agree with you, abuse it. Okay? But that doesn't mean that we stop it because some people are abusing it. They are using it for luxury. They are using it for pleasure. They are not using it for mercy like it was intended to. But this doesn't mean that we make it, Allah makes it haram for that reason. Okay, now, a monk, you can't think of any more scenario, right? Let me tell you, would you believe me if I tell you that forbidding husbands from having more than one wife, okay, that hurts women's rights?
No.
You wouldn't believe that?
Kinda.
You know what's the logic behind that? Okay. If here is a divorced, we said three kind of women are disadvantaged. Divorced with many children, widow with many children, and can't give birth. Or disabled. Right? Those are four cases we agree with. Right? If one of those four, okay, can't have a husband, then what is the alternative? Having a boyfriend, right? Is there any other alternative? Tell me what's the alternative. Either having a husband or having a boyfriend. If I tell her you cannot have a second, you cannot be a co-wife. You cannot be a co-wife. Then her chances will be zero in getting a husband. It will be very, very small in getting a husband. You understand what I'm saying? There are people at disadvantage and those need, it's better for them to have half a husband better than having nothing. So if you ask those women, would you like to have half a husband? What would she say in your opinion? She would say it's better than nothing. Now, if the law doesn't allow that, then guess what happens? It hurts the rights of the women. Why? Because these women, okay, can't have husbands. So by law, then can't have a half a husband by law. Then the alternative is to have a boyfriend. Having a boyfriend, if you have a boyfriend, do you get the rights of the wife? Legal rights of a wife? You know legal rights of a wife? You can have health insurance for her and children. You can have social security. She can get social security benefits. And she, wives can get benefits, legal federal benefits. If you're a girlfriend, would you get any of those benefits? So by forcing me not to have half a husband, you're hurting my rights. Because if I'm a half wife, at least I get half benefits. Better than nothing. Better than a boyfriend who will give me nothing. Do you understand? So that was, now you agree that this hurts the rights of women? Especially the ones at disadvantage. The ones, widows with many children, divorced with more than many children. And for those guys and women who pass the age of marriage without successfully having a husband, then by preventing them from having half a husband, you're basically telling them you can only be girlfriends. If they can be, if the only choice is to be girlfriend is to have a boyfriend, then they don't benefit. They are taking advantage of without getting any legal rights or any legal benefits. Okay. Now, why men can't have more than one wife? The first answer is, before we get into logic, the first answer is, it's immoral. The first answer is, it's immoral. The second answer is, it brings cancer. It brings cancer. There is a shot that all girls in the public schools, that recommend girls in the public schools to get. Zainab, Do you know about this shot, mandatory shot? So that they don't get? So that they don't get cancer?
Oh.
If they have multiple boyfriends?
I think it's HPV, right?
Maybe.
There is a shot that secures you from the so-called cervix, I don't know, from cancer.
Yeah, it protects teens from cancer, right?
Yes, yes. What is it called?
I think it's called HPV.
Something like that, whatever it is called. The reason is they are worried about the high school girls having more than one boyfriend, because that causes cancer. Okay? So it's sexually transmitted diseases are really... Yes. Are really bad between teenagers. So they want to stop that. Okay, so they give this immunization. Even if the girl is not going to have any relationship, in the future she can have a husband that has this cancer, that has the virus. Okay? Even though she didn't have any more than one friend, but any boyfriend, but still she's at risk because she doesn't know what her husband is. Okay? So that's one logical reason, but one health reason. But you have to understand that the main reason is that it's immoral. Another thing is that we will not know who's the father. If one having more than one child, one husband, and she gets pregnant, who's the father?
Can't they do a DNA test?
Huh? Can't they do like DNA test? Yeah. Expensive and not available. Even in Egypt, they wanted to do DNA test. It cost thousands of dollars. And we're not talking about the 5% of the people who live in luxury. We're not talking about those. We're talking about the majority of the 95% on the planet who can't afford a DNA test. So without a DNA, this is the only way to know what the husband is. Does it mean that if we can afford the DNA, then we can allow a wife to have more than one husband? No, because it's immoral. Okay? All right. And because God said no, let's give you the rules of having more than one wife so that you know what is it all about. The rules are, number one, you cannot combine two sisters. You cannot combine what? Two sisters. That's the first rule.
What is that?
The second rule, no, you cannot marry two sisters.
So if one sister dies, you can't marry the other sister?
He can, yes.
God,
yes. If one sister's died, I'm sorry, if one sister becomes die or divorce, then he can marry her sister.
Not at the same time.
So they cannot be both alive and present at the same time. Okay. So if you want to marry a sister, then the other one has to be either divorced or widow or die. Either get divorced or die. Okay? Other than that, you cannot, then you can go marry her sister. The second is, you cannot marry, second rule, you cannot marry a woman and her aunt. You cannot combine a woman and her aunt. So you cannot marry a woman and her aunt. Okay?
That's like a whole generation gap. Who would do that?
Well, sometimes your aunt is younger than you.
Yeah, like sometimes, like, yeah.
Yeah. So you could be an aunt. At this age, you are, see? So, no, you cannot marry a wife and her aunt, okay? You can't have both. You cannot marry both. Another rule is that you cannot, remember that, so far, if the wife dies, you cannot marry a woman and her mother. You cannot marry a woman and her mother together, okay? Now, you cannot marry, I cannot marry a girl, of course I cannot marry, I cannot marry a girl who grew up in my house as my, basically my step girl. You know step girl?
I cannot,
no.
A stepdaughter? You can't marry
Yes, it's my stepdaughter. You cannot marry your stepdaughter. Period. You cannot marry your father's widow or divorced. You cannot marry your father's widow or divorced. That's permanent. There are certain things where haram is permanent. Yes. Yes. And there are cases where it is temporarily. So combining more than two, combining two sisters is temporary. Temporary meaning that if one dies or gets divorced, you can do the other one. But it's temporary. You cannot marry your stepdaughter. That's permanent. That's permanent. So it doesn't matter what happens. You cannot marry her, period. Okay? You cannot marry your aunt, period. All times. No exceptions. Okay? It's not like, remember, it's not like having two sisters. You cannot marry your wife, your stepdaughter. Hold on. Oh, you cannot marry your stepdaughter forever. Yes.
So would it be the opposite? Like, for, you're saying for men, it's like you can't marry you can't marry a woman's mother, you can't marry a woman's aunt. For girls, would it be you can't marry
your husband's
or your husband's? Like once your husband like dies. Or
yes, you can't marry your father-in-law, and you cannot marry your stepfather. Okay. Remember, two, stepfather and father-in-law. Stepfather is a father who married my mom. So, period, no exception. It happens all the time. I cannot marry my daughter-in-law. I cannot marry my stepdaughter. Of course, I cannot marry my daughter. That's duh. And what's the maximum? What's the maximum number?
Four.
Huh?
Four.
Four, yes.
So what are the rules for like divorce?
We'll come to that. Now, another problem that we have about inheritance, before we get inheritance, about the testimony. The testimony in the court has to have two men. That's the first scenario. Two men testify in the court. Can I have only one testify in the court? Yes, but the testimony will not be maybe ignored by the judge. So, how many men have to testify?
Two.
Not testify. Sorry. Stop, Ryan. Leave. How many men have to witness a contract? Witness a contract. How many men? No, not adultery. Contract. So in the contracts, we have to have witnesses, right? How many witnesses can we have? Two men, okay? What if we have only one man? Then it has to be one man and two women. How about we can have one man and 10 women? It doesn't matter. But we have to have at least what? Two women. And the answer, the question is why? Why is that? You know, when I'm tired and exhausted and somebody is talking about a contract, do you know that I forget? If I'm tired and exhausted, I can't pay attention because I'm so tired. So I would forget. I would say I was so tired. I was so tired and confused. I can't really remember what happened. You know that, right? If you're taking a class and you're so tired, you're not getting everything. Do you agree with me?
Yeah.
Okay. There are cases, the women, during their dark time, during the monthly period time, they are tired. I mean, you girls know better than me. You get tired and exhausted. So you forget. Not forget, you're too tired to remember. So Islam make it two women because it's less likely that both of them will have the monthly period at the same time. It's unlikely. Okay? That's why. And not only the monthly period, but also tired and exhausted. There is a possibility because of the nature of women and girls that they miss what happened because of this. Now, can two witnesses, is it recommended that two witnesses be interrogated in two different rooms? Separately? Yes. This is good. It's to when we listen to one witness, then we keep him in the room and we go to interrogate the second witness, the first witness, and then the second witness alone. If we have female witnesses, do they testify in different rooms? No. Female witnesses have to testify together. If you have 10, even if you have 10 female witnesses, they have to testify together. Do you understand what I'm saying? So women have to testify together. Why? Because if one was confused, the other one will remind her. But in men, every man has to be testified alone, or should be testified, should testify alone. You understand what I'm saying? Do you understand it? Why? Because two men are independent of each other, but two women are dependent on each other. Okay? So that's one rule. The second rule is, that's about the inheritance, about testimony. The second rule is inheritance, or the second, stereotype is inheritance. They say girls inherit half of the boys. So if my father died and he has $9, the boy gets $6 and the girl gets $3. And the question is, how come? Because in Islam, girls don't have financial responsibilities. In other words, the financial responsibility falls on the shoulders of the man. A wife, the wife money, okay, is hers. And she doesn't have to support anybody. But the man's money, he has to support a lot of people. First of all, he has to support his wife. Second, he has to support his children. Third, he has to support his mother and father. Fourth, he has to support three that we have to support.
And the needy, right?
Hmm?
And the needy.
That's not have to. That's zakat, different. Okay? But the woman has to pay zakat too. So, in a Sharia compliant society, the woman doesn't have to support anybody, even her husband and her children. She doesn't have to. But the man has to. So, if this is not the case, can you take parts of Sharia, apply it, and leave the other parts? No, you can't. So, you can't. It wouldn't make sense here in the United States, because in the United States here, both parties have financial responsibilities, right? So, it would make sense that they get equal inheritance. However, we shouldn't do that out of respect to Sharia. Out of respect to Sharia, we shouldn't do that. But the reason, the wisdom behind that is gone. You know, it's gone because men and women have financial responsibilities here in the United States. Okay? When I wrote my will, and then I wrote in my will that I have two girls and two boys. I have written in my will that the boys get 30%, and the girls get 17%. Why? Because Allah said so. Even though it doesn't make sense to do it here because both have financial responsibility, but out of my respect to Islam, I did that. Okay. Do you know that the one who gave women rights was Prophet Muhammad, who established rights of women? Before Islam, women were property. They were treated like property. In the Christian teaching, they wondered if women are humans like us. There is something called misogyny. Did anybody hear about misogyny?
Oh, misogyny, yeah.
What is it?
Okay, for misandrist, it's against men, right? Hate or stereotyping and discrimination against men. And then misogyny is stereotyping and discrimination against women.
Okay,
right?
And how is this happening?
Okay, wait, can you repeat the question?
Misogyny is the looking down to women, considering women to be objects, considering women to be property. Like in the Arabian time, before the pre-Islamic Arab, the man used to inherit his father's wife. He inherits her. The women are not allowed to own property. They can't own property. Okay? And they are treated with, actually the girls used to be buried alive. If you have a baby girl, they bury them alive. Are you aware of that? Yeah. So when Prophet Muhammad came, he established the rights of women. He said, of course you cannot bury your baby daughters alive. And women can own things just like men can own things in the Sharia law. Women can own, men can own. Okay? And then and third thing is that of course Islam taught us to respect women because they are our mothers and sisters and daughters. So respect women, not look down to them as like evil or devil or yes.
And women can have businesses too, right?
And women what?
They can have a business.
Yes, she can have her business. And she doesn't have to pay anything to the man, to the man of the house. It's not her responsibility. He has to spend on her and on the children, even if she's rich. Unless she says, no, I don't want your money, that's different. Okay? So, Prophet Muhammad gave women rights. He was the first. By the way, in the old days or before Islam, if the father died, the girls don't get anything. You know that? Before Islam, if the father dies, girls don't get anything. So Prophet Muhammad came and he said, girls must get half of the boy's gift. So it is from nothing into half. Before Islam, it was nothing. After Islam, it's half. So the Prophet Muhammad really, really brought to a lot of rights to women. Rights that women cannot dream of. Women there with buried when they are baby daughters, when they are still baby girls. And even if they have saved from being buried, they are mistreated as objects or as evil soul. The misogyny, the Christian teaching, old Christian teaching that women have evil souls. And others say women are not human like us. Okay? So now Islam came to remove all this crap and teach us that to respect and look up to women because they are our mothers, our sisters, our daughters. To look up to them and respect them and make others respect them as well. So Prophet Muhammad established the rights of women. So before Islam, women they were terrible. They had no rights. After Islam, they have rights. And there are situations where the brothers, I can think of situations where the brothers are so mean, they don't give their sister the share. So basically, a father died and he has four children. And he has a building that has four apartments. Okay? Every one of the husband, of the kids took one apartment. And the girl, they didn't give her anything. They didn't give her anything. And this is very near. So still people are discriminating against women and not give them any inheritance. So Islam came to say to set a law and say, no, girls get at least one half. They can get one half of the boys. Okay? But not get anything at all. Do you understand this part? Now about divorce. Okay, divorce. Who has the right of verbal divorce? Like saying you're divorced, and then the divorce will take place. Who has the rights? The man. He can just say to his wife, you're divorced, and then she becomes divorced. Can women, yes. Can women, of course, has to be followed up by the process, the due process. But that initiates the divorce. Okay? Initiates
Islam
the in Islam. And then after they say that, they have to go through a due process. It's not just like valid. And also, the separation, they have 3 months to take back your divorce. You understand that? Islam requires you to wait how many? 3 months. Okay? Before you really actually physically divorced. Okay? So, why is it the case that women can't say you're divorced? Huh?
Maybe it's because, like, it's in, like, women's nature to, like, overreact about things and then get really angry really fast, and then later they calm down really fast.
Yes, that's a reason. But I want to tell you that the Sharia law says no. That didn't say no. Said that the right of verbal divorce to the husband, not to the wife. But the Sharia law says that the wife can make a condition in marriage. The wife can keep, can set, a, can require as a condition of marriage to for she, is that she will have the verbal power of divorce. And that becomes a contract, in the marriage contract. You can set up rules or you set up conditions in your marriage. So condition number one, it doesn't matter what, my husband can't marry a second wife. Condition number two, I get the right of verbal divorce. Condition number three, blah, 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 blah. You see, you can put whatever conditions in the marriage contract. Okay? So you can get this power. Okay? But the default is that it is for the man. The default is that it is for the man. Now, if a wife wants to get divorced, does she have a way?
It's a longer process.
Huh?
I think it's a longer process.
Actually, she can get that through a judge. It's a longer process. Yeah, she can get that through a judge. A judge can divorce a woman. Now, would she get the rights of divorce? There are two situations where a woman can get the rights of divorce and or she doesn't get the rights of divorce. Do you know what the rights of divorce is? To have a house, to have money, financial support, to have a house, to have financial support, okay? And have custody, okay? So these are rights of divorce. A woman have two choices. Either divorce, regular divorce, and she gets her right, or either divorce and doesn't give her rights. How? If she, a woman came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she said that, my husband, I don't like my husband. He says, why? Is he mean? She says, no, he's kind. He says, then he asks her, does he have bad manners? She said, no, he has good manners. So the Prophet asked her, he said, then why you want to divorce him? She said, I don't love him. I don't like him. Just, I don't like him as a man. I don't see him fit to me. So he said, then you get divorced, but you lose the rights of divorce. The rights of women in divorce. Right? Now, if the man divorces a wife, then she gets the rights of divorce.
But if the woman does, then she doesn't lose the rights of divorce.
Exactly. But hold on. What if she can prove that her husband is bad? Then she can divorce and keep the rights of divorce. Now, same thing, if the husband divorced, if he can prove that his wife is bad, then, if the husband divorces his wife, then he has to pay the rights of divorce. By the way, I wanted to tell you something about that. Yeah, there are rules about divorce and staying after divorce. These are rules, family rules. You know, it's a lot of learns and rules. So we'll just like, just whatever we have right now is enough. But know that you don't have everything about marriage. rule, about divorce rules. Okay? All right. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for getting the